Welcome to the Gifted to Give podcast. I am Brother Gian. If you're new to podcasting, you're in the right place. I can't wait to share to all of you how wonderful God is as we celebrate the 500 years of Christianity in the Philippines. Good day, listeners. We have once again Monsignor Achilles Dakay as he will preach and teach to us the good news of the gospel for this Sunday,
June 11, 2023.
We have a great number of listeners, downloads, and interactions. We at Gifted to Give Podcast would like to thank everyone for their support.
We are blessed to have our sponsor for our podcast, Podmetrics. Thank you so much, Podmetrics, for the support, and I urge everyone to support them as well.
And now, without further ado, please join us in welcoming Monsignor Achilles Dakay.
Good morning to all of you, wherever you are, wherever you come from. Let's go straight to next Sunday, the 10th Sunday in ordinary time. And it's a big Sunday, because on Sunday, God willing, Jude 11, we shall be celebrating a feast, a solemn feast. And at the same time, we shall be meditating on the fifth mystery of light. The feast is the solemn feast of the most holy body and blood of Christ, a feast. But the institution of the Holy Eucharist is the fifth mystery of light. So at the outset, let us make that distinction. Because the feast of the most holy body and blood of Christ is recorded in church history. But the institution of the most holy sacrament of the body and blood of Christ is recorded in the Gospels. So make that distinction all the time. Church history and the Gospels of our Lord. The Gospels of our Lord chosen for proclamation at every Holy Mass this coming Sunday are according to John chapter 6, 31 to 38 for cycle A. Then St. Mark in cycle B and St. Luke for cycle C. But before we read the Gospels, let us pray. Almighty Father, send your Holy Spirit upon us that we may read your word with faith, reflect on it with hope, and realize it with love, following the example of your only begotten Son, from whom we learn freedom, fulfillment, and the future with you forever. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. So let us open our Bibles to John 6, 31 to 38.
Jesus said to the Jewish crowds, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever.
Thank you very much for reading the Gospel, one of the three Gospels assigned for next Sunday for cycles A, B, and C. But we leave that aside. Let us first celebrate, or let us see how we can celebrate the feast of the Most Holy Body and Blood of Christ, which is relatively new in the sense that this solemn feast was first celebrated way back in 1264, when our Pope then was Urban IV. Urban IV was Archbishop of Leeds, Belgium. He was the Archbishop of a group of nuns, and one night Sister Juliana had a vision. She saw our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament with, of course, the eyes of faith, and she heard the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, she heard Jesus somehow complaining, "Why am I only inside the tabernacle? Why am I only in church? Why don't you take me out to the streets in a public procession of the Most Blessed Sacrament so that at least people who are not churchgoers can fall on their knees or make the sign of the cross?" Now, this vision was reported by that sister of the Visitation to the Archbishop. And the Archbishop immediately ordered his Archdiocese of Leeds, Belgium, that there be a solemn procession on four corners of every parish with the Blessed Sacrament. This was done, and then Pope, when this Archbishop became Pope, he ordered, he commissioned St. Thomas Aquinas to compose hymns to be sung during the procession. St. Thomas Aquinas was living then, and he complied with the request of the Archbishop the Archbishop of Leeds. He composed Pange Lingua Gloriosi Corporis Mysterium, a long hymn, the last two verses of which is the Tantum Ergo Sacramentum. So that was it. In 1264, the Archbishop of Leeds, who became Pope Urban IV, ordered not just his archdiocese, but the whole world, to celebrate the feast, and the main feature is the solemn procession as a public demonstration of faith in the Eucharistic presence of Jesus. So I repeat, this feast is relatively new. Only in the 13th century, in 1264. And I remember this feast also called Corpus Christi. I remember every year the Corpus Christi procession in the whole Archdiocese of Cebu was a great solemn feast. That was, and that is, and that has been the tradition in our religion. The Corpus Christi feast is precisely celebrated with the Mass and the main feature, the solemn procession. Because this was the complaint and the request of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament that he be taken out. And so in solemn procession from corner to corner, there is an altar on every corner, and then they stop to adore and then to sing the Pange Lingua or the Tantum Ergo of St. Thomas. So that was the feast. The feast according to church history. And we have been celebrating this feast since then. In fact, our celebration of this feast is highlighted by the so-called International Eucharistic Congress. And the first precisely International Eucharistic Congress was celebrated in Leeds, Belgium. Here in the Philippines, we had the 51st Eucharistic International Eucharistic Congress. So again, this is a feast that we celebrate. But aside from the feast, the Gospels remind us of the institution of the Holy Eucharist, which has been added by Pope John Paul II to the mysteries of the Holy Rosary. It is the fifth mystery of light. So, with that feast lay aside, let us now meditate, reflect on the institution of the Holy Eucharist, the fifth mystery of light. Through the years, there have been three questions about the Holy Eucharist. The first question is, could Jesus do it? The second question, why would he do it? And the third question, did he do it? So let us find some answers from precisely the Gospels assigned, chosen for this coming Sunday, the feast and the institution of the Holy Eucharist. In answer to the first question, could Jesus do it? Precisely, in the Gospel, Jesus performed three miracles. The first miracle he performed was in Cana of Galilee during that wedding reception, when instantly Jesus changed water in 6 stone jars filled to the brim. Instantly, he changed water into wine to show that he has power over wine. Then, the next miracle he performed was in Bethsaida, as reported by Saint Luke. In Bethsaida, the birthplace of Simon, Peter, and Andrew, and Philip, he multiplied the 5 loaves of bread to feed 5,000 men, not counting women and children, to show that he has power over bread. The few he can make many. And the third miracle that he performed was on the Sea of Galilee, when Jesus walked on the waters to show that he has power over his body. He can make it fly, he can make it float. So those 3 miracles answer the question, could Jesus do it? Yes, he has the power over wine, over bread, and over his body. The second question, why would Jesus do it? Precisely, Saint John, in his Gospel for this Sunday, Cycle A, has recorded a long discourse of Jesus in his chapter 6, where Jesus said clearly, I am the bread of life, and the bread I will give is my flesh, my body, for the life of the world. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood will not perish, but will have eternal life. So there you have the answer to the question, why would Jesus do it? Because he wants us to live, because we are what we eat. If we eat Jesus, then we shall live with him and he in us. That is the answer to the second question. And the third question, did he do it? Saint Mark says yes. While they were at table, Jesus took a piece of bread and said a prayer of thanks to God and broke the bread and gave to his disciples, saying, take it all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you. And then, after that, he took the chalice and said, take this, drink from it, for this chalice contains my blood, which shall be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. So there you are. The 3 questions are answered by the 3 Gospels. Could Jesus do it? Why would Jesus do it? And did he do it? What does this mean for us priests, and for you, our people? First of all, if Jesus took time to explain, to make understandable the fifth mystery of light, the institution of the Holy Eucharist. We priests who have been ordained precisely to celebrate this mystery, we should celebrate this with, I repeat, sincere devotion, grounded on sound doctrine and guided by strict discipline. What do I mean? We celebrate it with sincere devotion, not pretending to be other than who we are, but grounded on sound doctrine as revealed to us in the Gospels, but guided by strict discipline, meaning, for one thing, attired properly, prepared not to look for what to say at Mass in the Missal, prepared already with a sermon that is short, simple, and straight to the point. That is how we should celebrate this feast and understand this devotion, this institution of the Most Holy Eucharist. According to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, this mystery has other names, like the Lord's Supper, like the breaking of bread, like the Blessed Sacrament, etc. So, for us priests, we are being reminded to celebrate this feast and this institution pie et devote in Latin, piously and devotedly. And how about you when you are at Mass, when you are listening to the readings, especially to the Gospel, and more especially when you are to receive Holy Communion? I'll take this opportunity to precisely remind you of how to receive Holy Communion according to the liturgical gestures that you have to make, which are: when you stand up on your own 2 feet and fall in line with others, join your hands first, clasp your hands first, and be ready when the priest says the body of Christ, with your hands still clasped and joined, open your mouth to say Amen, meaning I believe it is true, this is the body of Christ. But I repeat, with your hands still clasped. And then you open your hands. After that Amen, open your hands, extend your left hand over your right. Receive the consecrated host on your left hand. Then step aside facing the altar and pick it up with your right hand and feed yourself. Feed yourself, and feeding yourself is hungitan ni mong imong kaugalingon. Dilingon ana. Dili man na hungit, hab-hab man na. So, when you are setting yourself aside, you pick it up, feed yourself, and go back to your seat or your kneeler to give thanks. Those are the steps liturgically correct. I know that you will say, then this will take time. This will prolong the Mass. Yes, but I ask, what are we in a hurry for? Why don't you take time, according to the Psalm, to taste and see the goodness of the Lord? Take your time to receive Holy Communion. After all, you usually do that in what is called fine dining. In fine dining, no hurry. One menu, one dish is served after another. The same with Holy Communion. I repeat, stand on your own two feet, fall in line with others, but with hands first clasped. Do not yet extend your hands. Join them. And when the priest, remember, the priest says individually, he says, the body of Christ. And you, right in front of him with your hands joined, you say, Amen, meaning, yes, I believe in that. And then open your hands, your left over your right, receive the consecrated host, and step aside, face the altar, and pick it up and feed yourself, and then go back to give thanks. I repeat, you may say this will prolong the Mass, but I ask again, what are we in a hurry for? So, on this Feast of Corpus Christi, as we also meditate on the fifth mystery of life, the institution of the Holy Eucharist, let us resolve to attend Mass and try our best to take time and celebrate liturgically correct the whole Mass. During the readings, the liturgy of the Word, and especially during the Eucharist, the liturgy of the Eucharist, the table of the Word and the table of the Lord. So now you see why I always try to link anything we discuss here with the Mass, because for me, the Mass is the center and the circumference of our lives. So the more devotedly we celebrate Mass, the better for us. Here I pause for some of your reflections, either about the feast or about the institution. The feast we celebrate, the institution we meditate on.
And now, words from our sponsor. If you're a current podcaster or plan to create your own podcast soon, I want to share with you the tool that I use to help me monetize my podcast. It's called Podmetrics. Podmetrics is a platform that allows you to have full control of how you monetize your podcast. You can collab with brands and choose between the many merchants that fit your podcast's audience. It also gives you tips and samples on how to execute your ads properly to maximize your earning potential. Plus, you can track how many of your listeners you were able to convert and know how much you've earned in real time. Cashing out is also a breeze. So if you're a podcaster, make sure you sign up by clicking the link in the description box of this episode and use the referral code 500YOCCebu so you can monetize your podcast too. Thank you, Podmetrics. And now, back to our podcast.
Good AM, Mons.
Good morning.
Thank you for differentiation, the feast of Corpus Christi from church history and the institution of the Eucharist from the Gospels. I didn't know this and now I know. Thank you, Mons.
That's true. I know that this needs practice. You may not do it immediately, but I hope in my message you try to learn how to receive Holy Communion liturgically correct way.
I take Holy Communion with more reverence because of our Bible study reflections. Thank you for the reminder of the proper gestures. Indeed, taking the communion is fine dining for our soul. Will there still be a procession of the Blessed Sacrament in every parish this Sunday, or it is optional?
Again?
Will there still be a procession of the Blessed Sacrament in every parish this Sunday, or it is optional?
The first order was to have an archdiocesan procession, not in parishes but in the main city. But then many priests could not come from afar, so the ruling was softened. They could do the procession in every parish. In America, since they cannot do it, they cannot go out to the streets, the procession is within the church. Within the church from one corner to another. As long as there is a procession. I repeat, this Corpus Christi procession in this Archdiocese of Cebu during the times of Cardinal Rosales was a big celebration. So now we may content ourselves, we may be satisfied with just celebrating in the parish, but there should be procession because that is the main feature of the feast as celebrated.
Thank you so much for showing us the correct way on how to meditate and show more reverence to the Holy Communion. It is good to keep in mind and will definitely impact my mass experience. So what to do?
Remember, there is not only Holy Communion during Mass. There is also the need to pay a visit to the Blessed Sacrament. What for do we have adoration chapels in our parishes? Because while the church is closed, then this chapel is open any time of the day for whoever wants to visit Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament.
So what to do the Protestants do when they do not have a mass like us? How do they participate in eating the flesh and blood of Christ that is in Scripture?
So
what do the Protestants do when they do not have a mass like us?
No. It's only we Catholics who believe in the real presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. All the other religions do not do this. Remember, Jesus commanded his apostles, do this in memory of me. But first, do this. Therefore, the consecration of the body, the living body, already with the blood in it, that is what we priests have been ordained to do. Do this. If we believe in what Jesus said during his 3 years and a half of public life, we should believe especially in this when he says, do this in memory of me. Say, this is my body. This is the chalice of my blood. Eat of it. Eat of it and drank from it. Notice how the words have been changed. Before it was eat it. And now, more properly, we are told to eat of it. In other words, to participate in it. So we are one big assembly, congregation, one church. Each one of us takes a part of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. In memory, as we do it, then we remember how Jesus did it himself. But the priest, as ordained, has that same power to do this in memory of him.
After COVID, some priests no longer say individually the body of Christ. So we don't have to say amen anymore.
Again.
After COVID.
Uh-huh.
After COVID daw, some priests no longer say individually the body of Christ. So we don't say, have to say amen anymore.
Saint Paul has already warned us that we may be getting groaned, accustomed to receive communion even unworthily in the state of sin because you are not married in church. This will be a sacrilegious act when you receive communion in a state of sin. And the Philippines, that happens very often. Because if we do not stand up and line up, mapahiya manta. That's why everyone should first examine his or her conscience if he or she is worthy to receive Holy Communion. Precisely, some people say, it should be good, Monsignor, while you are celebrating Mass, there is another priest to hear confessions. I said, no. Mass is Mass. Confession is confession. Let us give Mass a time and confession another time. Or else you won't be attending either one. If you are attending Mass and you go to confession, you are not attending Mass. And you are precisely reminded that find time to go to confession outside the Mass. We are, among God, accustomed to say, one store has it all. That's why some people say, now that we are in church, so we might as well receive the other sacraments of confession. I said, oh yes, then therefore we must have the other sacrament of wedding and anointing of the sick and etc. No, the sacraments are seven and they have each their own time. One store has it all. Now, we don't do that in church. We celebrate Mass, and therefore away with cell phones so that we concentrate on what the priest is doing for us.
Hi, Mons.
Hi.
Nindot to imong giingon that we take our communion like fine dining, not in a hurry, and savor Christ. Amen.
Yeah, that's right. Take your time. Remember, Holy Communion is a main part of the liturgy. Why should we be in a hurry to eat of it if you usually do that in fine dining? I remember we had a dinner in Hong Kong. Cardinal Vidal was invited to that dinner. 21 plates. One little meat, fish, etc. 21 plates were changed until we finished with ice cream. How we took time to savor the flavor of dining. The same with Mass. See, taste and see the goodness of the Lord. In Cebuano, tagamtama. Dili lang tilawi, tagamtama. Panilap when you receive communion. Og ayaw nang nuna na. Dili na. Kaon, hab-hab na. I repeat, we have the solemn feast of the Most Holy Body and Blood of Christ, and we have the institution of the Holy Eucharist. In answer to the questions, could Jesus do it? Why would Jesus do it? And did he do it? Last week, someone asked about standing immediately after consecration. Now I say, I was the one in Cebu who insisted that after consecration, that when Jesus is present Eucharistically among us, we should be kneeling, we should be on our knees precisely, and not to stand up. We should be kneeling to say the mystery of faith. When we eat of this body and drink of his blood, we proclaim his death until he comes again. That should be said on your knees. You know what? If Mass is a holy Eucharist, therefore totally an act of thanksgiving. When the priest says, go forth, the Mass is ended, then you go. Why do you stay? What are you thanking for when the whole Mass was an act of thanksgiving? And precisely, I would like to remind everyone, when the Mass begins, or before it begins, we have a hymn. It's called processional. Processional hymn. That used to be sung from the house across the streets as we enter the church. Processional. Not when the priest comes in. Actually, no. It's when the people goes to the church. And the last hymn after go forth, the Mass is ended, is called recessional. Recessional. Then that is sung as the people go out of the church and back to their homes. The purpose was that there should be singing outside the church along the streets so that those who have not gone to church may be reminded to go. Here we pause for our final blessing. The Lord be with you. May the Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 So see you again next Friday, God willing. Bye-bye.
Wow, that was an amazing talk given by Monsignor Achilles Dakai. We are so grateful for the Lord for sending Monsignor Dakai to share God's word to all of us. We would like to thank again Monsignor Achilles Dakai, and also to our heartfelt gratitude goes to all of you who joined, interacted, and asked a question for Monsignor Dakai. Hear more from Monsignor Dakai again next weekend. This is once again the Gifted to Give podcast for your ears only. I am Brother Gian signing off. Have a blessed Sunday to all, and to God be the glory.
You have just listened to the Gifted to Give podcast with your hosts, Brother Gian, Brother John, and Father Giorgio. Catch our next episode. This episode of the Gifted to Give podcast was brought to you by our sponsors. Thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's show, head over to our Facebook page at 500 Years of Christianity, Archdiocese of Cebu. If you love the Gifted to Give podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give a review everywhere you listen to your podcast. Till next time,